It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the happy hour.
That kind of scared me.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 5:01 is the time. Chris Hello, Matt Scraby. Odyssey Palace Studios. Rainy San Diego, California.
Oh, it really is raining right now.
Oh, whatever. So don't go outside. Shrivel up and avoid life for the next 24 hours.
Shriveling is dangerous for some people, Chris.
Like most of what San Diego will do. If you are out on the roads, though, take it easy. Enjoy a little Gwen and Chris on your way home. You'll get there eventually. Tony Gwynn Jr. idle today. Padres lose to the Reds 6-2. Final score today in Peoria. Padres fall to 7-8 in spring training play. Tough day for Randy Vasquez. 3 2/3 innings, allowed 8 hits, 5 runs, including 3 home runs. His spring ERA balloons to 6.23. Scoreless inning today for Wandy Peralta. Also, Mr. Go had a scoreless inning today for the Padres. Offense, not a whole lot of it. Only 5 hits today. Jay Cronenworth, 2 hits and an RBI. Fernando, batting in the cleanup spot, had a sacrifice fly today. Both runs were scored by the Padres' leadoff hitter, Xander Bogaerts. And Xander Bogaerts played. Oh, wow. Gets an applause for that, huh? Okay.
I'm cheering for Xander this year.
I am too. Why would I not cheer for Xander? I cheered for him last year. He got a bad rap because he had a long stretch after that wrist injury where he didn't get a hit. Like 2 months.
It's basically his arms falling off.
Pretty much, yeah. But other than that, I thought he had an all right season.
I did too.
He didn't hit with runners in scoring position, but who did?
No one.
So if you didn't like Xander, you didn't like anybody last year.
Good point.
Xander played shortstop today. Hassan Kim did not play. So it's not like they switched back.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that Xander was at shortstop today. So that, of course, led the
Intrepid reporting crew
down in Peoria, very good, to ask manager Mike Shildt if we could read anything into the fact that Xander was back at short for today's game.
It's a product of him making sure, because he is going to slide over and play short when Kimmy needs a day. So it's a great opportunity for him to go over and do just that today.
So he's the backup shortstop?
He's the backup shortstop. Pretty good one, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't hear that clip very well. I'm only hearing it in one ear. Let's cut it down. That was our friend AJ Cassaville making a guest appearance in the clip. But yeah, Mike Shildt said, yeah, he's the backup shortstop. The Padres have one of the greatest lineups of shortstops in Major League history right now.
Yes,
they really truly do.
Yeah.
Ha-Seong Kim is first string. Xander Bogaerts is second string. Beyond that, you could go with Fernando. You could go with Manny.
Yep.
Right? They're both shortstops. In fact, I'd put Manny ahead of Fernando at shortstop.
Then you have Jake Cronenworth.
Cronenworth's played some shortstop. And if you got to get down to your sixth stringer, how about Jackson Merrill?
That's a shortstop. Yeah, there you go. That's a good point.
I mean, it's unbelievable how many shortstops they have. But yeah, Xander played there today. Ha-Seong Kim took the day off. So don't read anything more into that than what we just told you. Jackson Merrill, by the way, 1-for-3 today, hitting 280. OPS for Jackson, 717 in spring training.
So he's hitting contact, but not for power.
Not a ton of power yet, but, you know, we had R.J. Anderson on yesterday from CBS Sports. He was good, by the way. If you missed that interview and you're a baseball Padre guy, he wrote about Jackson Merrill on CBS Sports. But if you want to hear his interview, you can always find it. Just go to our website. Yeah, I know the name of the website.
Sorry. I did jump you on that one.
973thefansd.com. Or go to the Odyssey app. But he had some great things to say about Jackson Merrill. The one thing he said was, this guy might be good enough to be an everyday outfielder this year, but don't expect 30 home runs, 120 RBIs. It's going to take a while before he hits for power. But he can, you know, get doubles, triples, knock guys in. RJ Anderson was very bullish on Jackson Merrill, as are most of you out there. But he also said, don't expect, you know, 34 home runs. That's probably not realistic.
MLB put out their top 30 their top prospects right now, and I did the top 20, for the Padres, top 30 Padres prospects.
Yes.
Ethan Salas, and then there you go, Jackson Merrill, number two. He's the number 12 overall prospect in baseball. Ethan Salas, number 8. But, you know,
I don't understand how they do prospects. Because at this exact moment, you can't tell me Ethan Salas is a better prospect than Jackson Merrill. Jackson Merrill is going to maybe make the team. Ethan Salas is already in the minor leagues.
I think what
what am I missing here?
I think what they rank them on is based on like career longevity.
Career.
Who's going to be the better player long term?
Top upside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because to me, Ethan Salas is still at least 2 years away.
Yeah, I would agree.
Jackson Merrill, Robbie Snelling's number 3. Dylan Lesko, he's a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Did we see him this spring? I don't recall that. If he pitched, I have to look it up. Drew Thorpe, I know we saw him for a couple of shutout innings. Anyway, yeah, the Padres prospect list is real good, but you know what I think about prospects.
Yes, I know.
They're just that.
They're just that. You're right.
Something to be concerned about today. Padres 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position.
At least it was just 0-for-4, not 0-for-8.
I know. Reds home runs today. Tyler Stevenson, Stuart Fairchild, Christian Encarnacion Strand. All off Randy Vasquez. There's your Padre update. San Diego State basketball falls at UNLV last night. 62-58 with that. Do the Aztecs lose their number 4 seeding in the upcoming NCAA tournament? I have a bad feeling they did. Maybe they can earn it back by beating Boise State in the finale Friday night and then winning the Mountain West Conference tournament, because they'd have to beat 3 quad 1 teams most likely to win that tournament. That could, you know, get them back that number 4 seed, I don't know what the committee's thinking, but I just think that loss last night hurt.
You and Joe Lunardi are best friends, so you should just ask him later.
Well, if I had a producer that could get him on the show, I could ask him directly. Do you know anybody who's capable of that?
No, apparently not. Joe Lunardi
hasn't been on the show, so
Joe Lunardi is a very hard person to get a hold of, especially this time of the year.
Yeah. The other big news with the Aztecs today, if you just tuned in, Brian Dutcher signing a new contract, actually. 5-year deal. It starts this season. It's going to pay Dutch $2.3 million annually. That's up $1 million annually from his previous contract. He is the highest paid coach in the Mountain West Conference, as he should be.
Yeah.
He's got the best team. He's
the only
best
one
program.
Who's brought them to a national championship.
He's the only one who's won a game. The Mountain West hardly ever wins in the NCAA tournament. But if you think Dutcher's making too much, Look again, Tommy Lloyd, Arizona, $6 million, UCLA, Mick Cronin, 4.1, Oregon, Dana Altman, 4, U.S. Field, 3.5, anyway, on and on it goes. Even Wayne Tinkle at Oregon State at $2.6 million is making more than Brian Dutcher.
You cannot just drop Wayne Tinkle on me and move forward.
You don't remember him?
I do, now that you say
it. Yes, he was the coach a couple of years ago. The Beavers made a run to the Elite Eight. Under Coach Wayne Tinkle. And not only that, we had Tim Shelton on.
Yes, we did.
He was an assistant to Mr. Tinkle.
Yes, that's right.
Oregon
there
State.
We go. It's all making sense now. And I'm sorry for making fun of your name, Tinkle.
Yeah, you're the one that said I had a problem with names, and now you're
guffawing
at the name Wayne Tinkle.
I know it's a five-year-old thing to laugh at, but who cannot laugh at the last name of Tinkle?
It's kind of fun to be five every now and again.
All right, so Matt Chapman, let's talk about this real quick.
Almost. I want to finish up with what J.D. Wicker said about Brian Dutcher. Said we are definitely getting a very economical deal. We're very appreciative Brian was willing to work with us on that, because I'm sure, as are we, that he could go other places and make significantly more money. Even J.D. Wicker said that. Brian Dutcher said, look, I am not a job chaser. I am so happy where I am, and he's very appreciative to the school for signing him to this deal. We are so happy to have Brian Dutcher. All right, go for it. You've been dying to talk about Matt Chapman for some reason.
I can put it off a little bit longer. But he said he's not a job chaser.
Right.
And I think that's kind of interesting because, like, what do you think his definition of job chaser is? Someone who just moves to the next job that's going to pay them more money.
Absolutely.
Regardless of situation.
Just continue to move to another, you know, have success somewhere, take another job, make more money.
See, this is
why... success for a couple of years there, find another job, make more money. That's
like
a lot of Shaka Smart, maybe. Shaka Smart, Calipari. Doesn't mean they're bad people.
Yeah.
Just means that's more important to them.
Yeah.
More important to Dutcher is being happy and being content where he's at. I commend him for, you know, having that feeling. Grass is not always greener. That's how Dutcher feels about things.
It's not always greener because I left the job for another job thinking it was going to be greener, and the other job was way worse than the job I left.
Well, oftentimes, that's how it turns out.
But also, Brian Dutcher had been assistant coach for the school for years and years.
Like about 18.
It would make no sense to me, at least, if he was just like, okay, I finally got the job that I've been waiting for, and then take off.
He's been here a quarter of a century. As an assistant and now a head coach.
Good job, Brian Dutcher.
Good for Brian. All good right. for the Aztecs.
Matt Chapman, real quick. So he and the Giants agreed to a 3-year, $54 million contract, which is what I thought. But he has a bunch of opt-outs. And so here's what he told Bob Nightingale the other day. Our goals were to either get a long-term contract that we felt that I was worth, if not, get the short-term contract with opt-outs and bet on myself. If I was going to do something long term, I was going to get the value I'm worth. He also said that he's planning on opting out of one of the two opt outs, with Nightingale saying it's likely he's basically playing a 1-year deal with the Giants. So this goes into my theory that the Giants are just throwing money at the wall and just seeing what's going to work out for them, because Matt Chapman coming in for a year. What is that really going to help them? That's not a long-term play. It's not even a short-term play. It's just a play of, we got money, we're going to spend the money. And they're not building their team for the future. So if you're a Padres fan, I'd be excited about this.
I'm not excited about the Giants adding Matt Chapman
for
this year.
That he's a 1-year deal, basically.
Fine, but he's going to, you know, probably make a difference on that team. I don't know. Hey, baseball is more of a year-to-year proposition nowadays anyway. I don't know. I'll go with what R.J. Anderson said about him yesterday, our guy from CBS Sports. He said Matt Chapman can't hit a fastball, and he especially won't be able to hit one now that he's 30-something years old. So he's not worried about Matt Chapman at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see what happens with Matt Chapman in San Francisco.
I feel like Bob... Sorry, I keep jumping all over you today.
Go ahead.
I feel like Bob Melvin is going to be living the same exact nightmare he lived last year.
It won't be exact.
It will be different, but it will
be
similar.
Different. But it could be similar. With all due respect to Bob, I hope it is. Yes. I don't want them to have a good season.
Yeah.
If they do, it's going to make it that much more difficult. David Schoenfeld, our friend from ESPN, the senior writer.
Ooh.
You know, I wonder how long I'd have to be doing the talk show here for Adam Klug to put on my business card, Chris Ello, senior sports talk show host.
That just means you're old.
It doesn't seem to mean you're old. It just means you're somehow better than just a regular writer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like David Schoenfeld is a senior writer. What makes him better than the guys that are just writers?
You're right. I've never heard of a senior talk show host.
Yeah, they don't refer to it that way. But writers, they can be a senior writer. David Schoenfeld in his column today for ESPN Plus. Yes, I paid for it.
There it
was. Asked this question: who will be this year's Diamondbacks? Who you got, Scrabe?
Oh,
you
wow.
only get one team. One team
I got it.
That kind of comes from nowhere
got
and
it.
Has a chance to maybe even go all the way to the World Series.
Got it.
Do you have the team that he chose? Because I agree with his choice.
That changes me, but my first instinct, Kansas City Royals.
Kansas City Royals?
They signed a bunch
of
people.
To the World Series?
Bobby Witt Jr., they signed a bunch of
Bobby
people.
Bobby Witt Jr. was already on the team last year. They signed Michael Wacha. They signed Seth Lugo. They traded for Hunter Renfro.
Championship. Who's your team? I felt like that was a really good one, and then you kind of poked holes in my theory.
It was a bad poll.
Oh, Adam Paul on the chat says senior writer has more clout when it comes to stories and assignments.
I guess they do. Well, that's why I want to be a senior talk show host.
So who do you say?
Have more clout than you. Huh?
What team are you guessing?
Well, I'm looking at the Royals first. Oh. Getting my Royals sheet out.
You got a Royals sheet?
I do. I have their roster here in front of me. I have all the rosters in front of me.
Wow, I didn't know that.
They added somebody. Adam Frazier. Yeah.
Championship, Chris. Ball I told
game.
You.
Yeah, it's over. The Royals won 70. No, they won 56 games last year.
All right, I don't feel so
that's
good.
That's not the
about
Diamondbacks. The team that David Schoenfeld said, and I agree with him, there's almost this team is so almost guaranteed to make a big run this year.
The A's?
That they'll probably... the A's?
I just kidding.
The A's aren't winning any games. No, this team is being picked by many to win their division. They won 82 games last year. And
AL or NL?
NL. A lot of people think they could be a World Series team if everything breaks right for...
The Reds.
Your Reds. That's
not
right.
Not my Reds, but...
Well, your former hometown... You just kind of give up on the Reds because all your friends back home are always telling you how good the Reds are going to be, and then they never reach those heights.
I always joke. I always send them a text at least some point through the year, and I say, I think the Reds are going to be really good this year.
You should.
That's what everybody says.
Well, you should send it now. They got a young bunch of players, and they're all really good.
That's a good point. That's a
and
really good point.
They got a bunch of good pitchers. Hunter Green. Abbott, Montas, they added. Lodolo.
Yeah.
They got a closer. Almeides Diaz.
I would like to see the Reds be good.
I think the Reds could win that division. I mean, other than the Cubs. Are the Cardinals going to bounce all the way back?
Not without Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray going to miss the beginning of the season. That's right, Scrabe. Did the Padres start their opening day lineup today in their spring training game in Peoria? Let's talk about that, because I think it's pretty close to what opening day might look like. We'll share after traffic on Gwen and Chris. It's all the time. Does the diet work? Let's put it this way. If it doesn't work and you follow the program but don't lose weight in the first 10 days, they're going to give you your money back. Now, I normally close this spot by saying you've got nothing to lose but the weight itself. That is more true than ever now, right? You've got nothing to lose. Do the program. You'll lose weight. But if for some reason you don't in the first 10 days, you get your money back. SD Fat Loss. You got to call them, though, to make it happen. 858-665-3211. 858-665-3211 or online sdfatloss.com. Either way, get a free private weight loss consultation. You'll find out the secret. Losing up to a pound of fat every day, naturally, safely, effectively. That's the way to do it. Just a little bit at a time. It all adds up. You don't have to count calories, no exercise, Best of all, no prepackaged meals, your own food. They'll tell you what to eat, what you can't eat, but you have to call them to get that information. So don't wait around any longer. 858-665-3211. Your money back if the weight doesn't come off in the first 10 days. SD Fat Loss, SDFatLoss.com. Got nothing to lose but the weight itself. That's why I say it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back. A couple of scores for you. As we head into the early evening on this Wednesday, Gwen and Chris program, Washington Wizards trying to snap a 15-game losing streak. Still lead Orlando, Scrape. 65-57, 9:20 to go in the third quarter.
There it goes. The deficit is going down for Orlando.
They were up by 12 at the half. Right now it's 8. One other score from NCAA college basketball tonight. How many times have we told you that these high-ranking teams continue to have problems on the road against lousy teams?
Who is it this time?
Top-ranked Houston trails Central Florida 41-38. Okay. 14 minutes to go.
At least they're close.
Oh, they're close, but I'm just saying. Not like they went in there and blew them out.
That's true.
They're down in the second half by 3. I'm Chris. That's Scraby. Tony's off today. Padres lost to the Reds 6-2. Spring training action. Here was the Padres starting lineup today. Bogarts led off and played shortstop. That's because Kim had the day off.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. But after that, Cronenworth first base, Fernando right field, Machado DH, Profar left field, Campusano catcher, Jackson Merrill center, Tyler Wade third base, and then Eggy Rosario played second base, taking the spot in the lineup of Kim. So I said before the break, did the Padres start what might be their opening day lineup today? Well, of course not. Kim's going to be in there.
Yeah.
But take Kim, put him in for Rosario, put him at short, put Bogarts at second, right? That everybody gets that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the rest of the lineup might be exactly what they go with on opening day.
You know, I never do this. I think you're right.
Really?
I do.
I mean, it'll be interesting. There's just still a couple of weeks for them to sign somebody or for something to change. But I think Tatis will be in right field. I think Jackson Merrill threw out a runner at the plate today.
He did.
In center field. Think he's going to be there.
I think he is, too.
Profar will be in left because he's a left-handed hitter or a switch hitter who can bat left. The infield, I believe, will be Cronenworth, Bogarts, Kim. I don't think Machado is going to play third base opening day. I think Tyler Wade is. According to Tony Gwynn, who's seen every game, Wade has kind of been the best of those infielders.
He has come out of nowhere. There's always that one guy.
Right. And then you'll have Machado DH. Camposano will be behind the plate. Pretty sure of that. That's your nine. That's the nine.
It doesn't look terrible.
I might be wrong, but I'm going to, 2 weeks out, that's my pick. That's my pick.
It doesn't look and feel terrible when you read it out like that, but it's still. No, I'm going to take that back. There's no it's still. The only way the Padres win this year is if their big horses do big things. So that's all I'm looking for. If they don't, Padres aren't going to be very good. They have no. They don't have a like. And that, then we go talking about the bench.
Yeah, there's really a question mark.
See, that's an issue.
Really a question mark.
How many times last year were there situations where they needed a good hitter off the bench?
I know.
And they
one
didn't
time
have one.
That one guy batted.
Taylor Cole.
Yeah, Taylor
I'm
Cole,
sorry.
Well,
I'll never
still,
forget it
never
for whatever
it,
reason.
I know. Yeah, the bench is going to be a bunch of young, unproven guys. Zokar would be on that bench. Higashioka would be on that bench. You pick the other two.
Yeah.
Could be any number of different guys.
Could be Brett Sullivan.
Yeah.
Playing first base.
And
yes, we are saying Brett. I had someone tell me that. You guys don't know your catcher's name? His name is not Brent. It's Brett. And I said,
don't you people on the chat have anything
better
to do?
No, this wasn't on the chat. This was in my Instagram DM.
Got to correct every word.
You know, there's nothing more that I love, Chris, than waking up and seeing DMs about how wrong I am about everything.
Must happen every day.
It does.
Yeah. All right, we'll see how close that is to what the Padres actually bring out there for opening day when they face the Dodgers in Korea. But I have a feeling what we just said is going to be pretty close, if not. It exactly.
Do we even dare see what the Dodgers are possibly going to throw out there on opening day?
Do we dare see?
We already know
what they're going to throw out there on opening day. They're going to have Freeman at first. They're going to have Betts at second. They're going to have Gavin Lux at short. They're going to have Max Muncy at third. They're going to have Teoscar Hernandez in the outfield.
I forgot about him.
They're going to have
Ohtani DHing.
I didn't get to that yet.
Sorry.
Don't go out of order.
There's no
order. They're
going
to have Teoscar Hernandez, James Outman, and Jason Hayward in the outfield. Ohtani DH, Will Smith behind the plate. That's sick. All I have for you, Darvish, or Joe Musgrove is keep the ball down.
Yes.
That's a pretty good hitting lineup.
How does the ball fly in Korea, Chris? Do you know?
Unfortunately, we may find out those first 2 days.
I think it jumps.
Dodgers today beat the White Sox 12-9. If you're interested, they are now 10-3 in spring training. Doesn't mean anything. Shohei Ohtani, 2-for-2. With an RBI and a stolen base, Freddie Freeman drove in 5, including hitting a grand slam.
Oh, that's just fantastic.
Yeah, and so it goes for the Dodgers.
Hey, but one thing we can't say... they can lose. We know that.
Oh, they'll lose at least 60 games.
Let's hope for 70.
And then 3 more in the playoffs.
Let's hope for 70, Chris.
70? Don't hold your breath. Hold your breath for the 3 in the postseason, but not the 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Aztecs, did they get hosed last night at UNLV? Or did they just run into what everybody's running into when it comes to bad officiating in the Mountain West Conference? I'll explain when Grin and Chris...
Grin and Chris?
Gwyn and Chris continues. All right, welcome back. Final segment of Gwyn and Chris for a Wednesday. Chris Hello, Matt Scraby. Odyssey Palace Studios. Brian Dutcher. He of the new contract signed earlier today, San Diego State, was hit with a technical foul last night in the Aztecs' loss to UNLV. He was arguing a late whistle after the Aztecs appeared to block a shot. One of the other officials came in with a call that it was a foul. The official was Mike Littlewood. Dutcher did go a little crazy, I will say. He deserved the T. You know, based on his reaction.
Okay.
But the call was probably not good. Littlewood, who gave Dutcher the technical foul, used to be the baseball coach at BYU.
Oh.
Conspiracy theorists get together and have fun with that one.
Wait a second. How is that honestly allowed?
Don't you have to be an impartial person? Like, how can you be a coach of another school?
Reffing, he's not reffing BYU. He's not the current baseball coach.
No, I know that.
He used to be.
I know that.
He's not the current. He's not reffing a BYU game.
Seems like a... I guess you're right. Never mind. I withdraw my statement.
I'm not withdrawing mine. Mark Ziegler tweeted about this today and was quite upset that Mike Littlewood... Apparently, this guy's worked 5 Aztec games this year. And, you know, the Aztec-BYU rivalry being what it was or is still. I mean, this guy's not thinking about that, is he, while he's reffing the game?
Well, we do have referees not calling fouls because they're afraid of the crowd.
And that statement is not incorrect. I did some research today. The Aztecs in 8 home games this year have received 81 more free throws than their opponents. But on the road, they have received 34 less free throws than their opponents. That's a swing of 115 free throws. Mountain West officials favor the home team and then some.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Wait, I wonder what it's like around other conferences.
Probably similar, but I don't know that it can be similar to that.
That's some disparity.
That's a huge disparity.
I actually tried to look up other teams, and then I realized how difficult it was.
It took me a while just to do that.
I'm sure.
Boise State will be in San Diego on senior night Friday. So hopefully the Aztecs will get all the calls, and Boise State will have to anguish. One thing I will say, the Aztecs need to win that game to secure at least a 5th-place finish. And remember, if you don't finish at least 5th, you do not get a bye in the conference tournament.
Yeah, that's huge.
The Aztecs no longer can win the regular season championship after last night's loss.
But no one cares about that.
And I cared. I like to win now. I'm competitive. I want to win it. But no, they can't win it now. So, you know, all you can do is try to win the tournament.
Then what's the point of the tournament if you have regular season champions too?
Well, there's 2 different ones. Mark Ziegler put this in his article about the game. The Aztecs probably did lose control of that 4 seed in the NCAA tournament, which is what I've been saying today.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the big bummer. Let's check traffic. And then we had an interview today with Sean Paul from the Field of 68 NCAA tournament website. He used to be a Mountain West journalist. He is really good on Mountain West basketball and the Aztecs, and I think you'll enjoy listening to him. Sean Paul works for the Field of 68. I follow these guys on Twitter.
Nice.
They know, I mean, I'm serious, they know everything about college basketball.
Well, their name is Field of 68.
Yeah, Sean Paul is really in tune with the Mountain West Conference, always full of great info and insight. Sean, thanks for coming on the show today. How are you?
Doing great. Quite the intro. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Way to boost the ego a little bit.
Doing what I can do. Doing what I can do. All right, I want to get to the real stuff in a minute, but you just tuned in to a bit of a firestorm. And it has to do with officiating in the Mountain West Conference, and I really don't like to go there. But I watched the Aztecs at UNLV last night, and it dawned on me that if you're playing on the road in the Mountain West Conference, you're just not going to get any calls. And so I went through the Aztecs season, and in their 8 home games, they have received 81 more free throws than their opponent. But in their 9 road games, they've received 34 fewer free throws than their opponent. Same team, different venues, a swing of 115 free throws. The coaches all around the country complain about officiating. But is there anything that can tighten up that gap a little bit? Because the Aztecs are the same team. The officials are not the same.
You know, the thing about it is, I just think it depends on what set of refs you're getting for a specific game. If you're in an area where you're going to have a big-time crowd, like obviously UNLV is not the biggest crowd in the Mountain West, but if you're in the Pit in New Mexico, you know that the crowd could influence some of these calls and how loud it is. That's obviously not how it's supposed to go, but I feel like I'd be lying if I said I don't think that's how it impacts the game sometimes. So I think the atmosphere can impact it. There's just a lot of things that go into it, but I just think it's really a game-by-game basis. And obviously, how the game goes can impact things. If you're down, you're going to be fouling late, which could lead to more free throw attempts. So I think the free throw disparity, that could be part of it too. But all in all, I mean, the officiating is pretty inconsistent. I think in mostly all sports in general, like in baseball, you're going to get some missed strike calls. In football, you're going to get some missed penalties. In the NBA, you're going to get some missed travel calls. You're going to get some missed foul calls. At least they have the challenge. That's the one thing I'd like to see implemented in the college game, though. I'd like to see the one challenge. And if you win your challenge, you get another one like they have in the NBA now. I think that's really beneficial. And I think it's worked in the NBA, and I'd love to see it in college.
Chris, do you have anything else before we put away that tinfoil hat?
No, but I like his idea.
Yeah,
I mean, because I'm pretty sure Brian Dutcher would have had a few to challenge last night had he had the the wherewithal to do so. But, yeah, let's move on. Let's talk about these teams because, again, officiating, it's not what we should be focusing on.
We will be talking about that later, though, so
you can get it on your chest again. I'll bring it back up later.
Sean Paul with the Field of 68 joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. And speaking of Brian Dutcher, we just got news that he got a big old contract extension, which we are excited about here on the show. He's going to be under contract for until the 27-28 season. But he's not making money like a top coach, and we think that he is just taking a hometown discount. To put it into perspective for everyone, how many teams do you think would want Brian Dutcher and would pay big money for Brian Dutcher?
A lot of them. I mean, he is one of the best coaches in college basketball, but I think to a certain extent, you know, you factor in his age, you factor in how college basketball is trending right now with all the NIL stuff and all the transfer portal and all the recruiting. I think a lot of schools are going to go gravitating towards more of the younger guys if they're looking for a long-term move. And obviously, Dutcher's not necessarily that guy. But for him, it makes a lot of sense. He's comfortable at San Diego State. There's no reason to go try to rebuild some Big Ten school and be fired in 5 years if it doesn't work. He knows that no matter what he does, he's going to be at San Diego State until he retires. Like, they're not going to fire him at any point. They're trying to become the Gonzaga of the Mountain West Conference in a sense. And I think they're well on their way to doing that if they aren't already, because they've just been consistent year in and year out, and Dutcher's just done a terrific job. I think he deserves more money than he's getting, but I think it is a hometown discount to a certain extent because comfortability is very important, and I think some coaches have shown that over the years. Mark Few, obviously, at Gonzaga, and if you're comfortable in a spot, there's no reason to leave it because it's not always a greener pasture.
Yeah, that's what Brian Dutcher said. Sean Paul, Field of 68. We know the Aztecs are going to be in the Field of 68. You know, regardless of what happens here in the Mountain West Conference tournament. But this tournament should be incredibly interesting nonetheless, Sean. And, you know, right now, the projections I see, you know, five teams for sure, six maybe. But the seventh team would be UNLV, and they're not in most people's brackets right now. They've won five in a row. They've won 10 out of 11. They're a half game out of first place. They get the tournament on their home floor. How much intrigue is there, and how much is going to be at stake, and for what teams is it going to be really, really important to show well next week?
I mean, the one that has the most to lose or gain next week, obviously outside of UNLV, because they are auto bid or bust. They have to win the Mountain West tournament. Even if they win at Nevada, I just can't see them getting in. They have three quadrant four losses. One was against Southern. And it is worth noting some of those losses came without Keelan Boone, who was one of the two-time transfers, so he wasn't eligible at the start of the season. But I just don't know how much the selection committee is going to look at that and be like, hey, we're going to put UNLV in. They have questionable metrics. There's a lot of teams that I would put in over UNLV right now. Although UNLV is really hot, you have to look at the full body of work because how they're playing right now holds no weight compared to the start of the season. But what it comes down to for me is New Mexico can't put the selection committee in a position to leave them out. They lost at home against Air Force. That is a terrible loss, and that's the reason they find themselves firmly on the bubble right now. They just have to keep winning games, get a win or two in the Mountain West tournament, lose a quadrant one game, and they're going to be fine. They should be in the NCAA tournament. It might be in Dayton, but they will probably be in the NCAA tournament unless they lose a game they should not lose. But we've seen them time and time again. Like, they've played really good against good teams, and they played down to some teams this year. They need to play their best in the conference tournament. But UNLV is an interesting team. I think that team is good enough to win a game in the NCAA tournament if they get there. We saw it last night. They're really good at home. They beat New Mexico twice. They beat Colorado State. They beat San Diego State. They lost against Utah State, a game they really should have won. They led by five with like 15 seconds left. They lost that one at home. But they are really good at home besides the Air Force game. It would not surprise me if Colorado bid and made the NCAA tournament because they play really good in that building.
Talking to Sean Paul here of Field of 68, and I'm going to focus on one of the Aztecs players right now, and that would be Jaden Ledee. He's had a pretty incredible season, but every person that we talk to think he'll just miss out on being a first-team All-American. So do you think he should be a first- or second-team member, or is he a third member, third team? Is there a third team, Chris?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. That makes my question valid.
Yes.
Not a fourth team, just a third team.
Okay,
but,
good.
I think what it comes down to for me is what you look at when you're putting players on a team. For me personally, I don't really do a position-based, but I think the actual list really does. You're going to have a couple guards on there. You're going to have a couple bigs on there. If I could put five bigs on there, if there was five bigs that deserved to be on the top of the list, I would do it. I don't care about the position. This isn't some hypothetical game we're rolling out there. We're trying to put the five best players on the first team, the five second best players on the second team, and then the 11 to 15 best players on the third team. Like, you're not making this a real game. So to me, position doesn't really matter. I would probably have him on the second team right now. Because you're going to have Zach Edey from Purdue on the first team, obviously. You're going to have Deron Holmes from Dayton, who I think is ahead of Jaden Ledee in some of these talks. I would have him on the first or second team, and then I would put Ledee on the second team probably. You're going to have a couple guards on that first team, either Tristan Newton from UConn, Tyler Kolick from Marquette. They're going to be in that mix, and the Dalton Connect from Tennessee is going to be on there, R.J. Davis from North Carolina. So you're going to have a lot of guys that deserve to be on that first team. I think Ledee has a really good case for being on the second team, but if he's on the third team, it wouldn't be a surprise. He's going to be a second or third team All-American, though. He deserves it. He's had an awesome season. But I will say, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets snubbed a little bit, though, because some people might lean towards Gray Osabor from Utah State instead because he's on the team that's going to win the regular season title in the Mountain West.
Yeah, we're used to getting snubbed. So, Jaden, hopefully he won't have to deal with that. Sean, let's focus back in on the Aztecs. 14-0 at home, but 3-6 in the conference on the road. They lost to each of the other six teams that are NCAA tournament potential. All of the games were close, except I think New Mexico ran away at the end.
Yep.
This Aztec team compared to last year's, I mean, they were looking at a four seed before last night, which would have been a better seed than they had last year. I don't know that this team could possibly be better than last year, but where do you think it is heading into the madness of March?
It's just a lot different, you know, because you're looking at Jaden Ledee becoming an absolute superstar. He didn't have a superstar last year. He had Matt Bradley, who was honestly had a pretty inconsistent season for what he was throughout his career. Then you had Ledee, who was solid, splitting minutes off the bench with Keyshaw Johnson. You had Nathan Mensah. You just had so many dudes that defend. The defense was a little better than it is last year. It's still elite this year. Top 10 in defensive efficiency on KenPom, but it was fourth nationally last year. It's ninth right now. Having a star like Ledee is big in March. I mean, you have a guy that can go get you 20 points. You didn't know who that guy was going to be on a night-to-night basis last season. What it comes down to for me, though, and why I think San Diego State won't make it to, obviously not the national championship, that's going to be hard to replicate, but why I think making the Sweet 16 could be a bit of a stretch is because of their guard play. It just hasn't been very good this year. Darian Trammell's taking a step back. Lamont Butler is shooting a career low from three-point range, and he's kind of the guy that he's always been. He's going to be that tough defender. He's going to make some big shots. Obviously made one of the biggest shots in program history last year against FAU, but he's just an inconsistent scorer, and he's just a great defender, but he's not going to be that guy that's going to score you 20 every game in the NCAA tournament. That's just not who he is. And then Reese Waters, he's playing less and less minutes by the game. He only played like 12 minutes last night. So I think he needs to play more minutes for San Diego State to make a run in the NCAA tournament. They just don't know if their offense is going to be good enough in the biggest moments.
I think it's a fair analysis. I do. I mean, I would have loved to hear you say, oh, yeah, they're a lock for the Final Four. But nothing's a lock for the Final Four. I mean, what happened last year was magic. And we'd love to, you know, see some more magic this year. But I think you rated this team about right. I mean, you know, they are inconsistent offensively. And even by their own admission, They're not as good defensively. There's no way they can be without Nathan Mensah.
No,
I mean, he erased everything at the rim. So, you know, it's going to be tough. How about the rest of the Mountain West? Real quick, Sean, before I let you go, who do you like in the tournament to do something? I mean, other than the Aztecs making their run last year, the Mountain West has largely been disappointing come tournament time. Can somebody else, Utah State, Nevada, Colorado State, Boise, can somebody, you know, get to a Sweet 16? Or is it going to be a lot of bids and then a lot of disappointment?
You know, I have concerns about pretty much every team for different reasons, except for one team specifically. So I'll kind of get into those other teams. Boise State doesn't really have a point guard. Utah State can't shoot. Colorado State supporting cast is very inconsistent around Isaiah Stevens. The one team that I had the least concerns about is Nevada. They just play so well. They've done great on the road. They won at Colorado State without Keenan Blackshear. My one question would have been shooting because they didn't have a lot of shooters, but now Hunter McIntosh is becoming a guy. He had 25 points against Boise yesterday. I think he had 6 threes. Him becoming a big piece in this rotation makes Nevada's offense much more dangerous because you have Blackshear going to back you down as the 6'6" point guard. Then you have Jared Lucas, who's one of the best shooters in the game, and then Hunter McIntosh just adds another element on the offensive end. You have some tough dudes down low with Nick Davidson and KJ Himes and Tylan Pope. They don't turn the ball over very often. They're a really good defensive team. They can score inside and out. I think Nevada has a chance to make a pretty serious NCAA tournament run.
All right. That was some of the knowledge from Sean Paul on our interview earlier today. NCAA tournament closer than you think. Washington Wizards trying to snap a 15-game losing streak. Lead Orlando 91-89. 9 minutes left, fourth quarter. Top-ranked college basketball team in the country, Houston Cougars. 4:57 left, second half. They have finally taken the lead on Central Florida, 55-48.
Go Cougs!
Oh, yeah. You're such a Coug fan.
I am.
Scraby's Chronicles, punctuated by a daily gripe, are coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Have a good rest of your night, everyone. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Sean Paul works for the Field of 68. I follow these guys on Twitter.
Nice.
They know, I mean, I'm serious. They know everything about college basketball.
Well, their name is Field of 68.
Yeah, Sean Paul is really in tune with the Mountain West Conference, always full of great info and insight. Sean, thanks for coming on the show today. How are you?
Doing great. Quite the intro. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Way to boost the ego a little bit.
Doing what I can do. Doing what I can do. All right, I want to get to the real stuff in a minute, but you just tuned in to a bit of a firestorm. And it has to do with officiating in the Mountain West Conference, and I really don't like to go there. But I watched the Aztecs at UNLV last night, and it dawned on me that if you're playing on the road in the Mountain West Conference, you're just not going to get any calls. And so I went through the Aztecs season, And in their 8 home games, they have received 81 more free throws than their opponent. But in their 9 road games, they've received 34 fewer free throws than their opponent. Same team, different venues, a swing of 115 free throws. The coaches all around the country complain about officiating. But is there anything that can tighten up that gap a little bit? Because the Aztecs are the same team. The officials are not the same.
You know, the thing about it is, I just think it depends on what set of refs you're getting for a specific game. If you're in an area where you're going to have a big-time crowd, like obviously UNLV is not the biggest crowd in the Mountain West, but if you're in the Pit in New Mexico, you know that the crowd could influence some of these calls and how loud it is. That's obviously not how it's supposed to go, but I feel like I'd be lying if I said I don't think that's how it impacts the game sometimes. So I think the atmosphere can impact it. There's just a lot of things that go into it, but I just think it's really a game-by-game basis, and obviously how the game goes can impact things. If you're down, you're going to be fouling late, which could lead to more free throw attempts. So I think the free throw disparity, that could be part of it too. But all in all, I mean, the officiating is pretty inconsistent. I think in mostly all sports in general, like in baseball, you're going to get some missed strike calls. In football, you're going to get some missed penalties. In the NBA, you're going to get some missed travel calls. You're going to get some missed foul calls. At least they have the challenge. That's the one thing I'd like to see implemented in the college game, though. I'd like to see the one challenge. And if you win your challenge, you get another one like they have in the NBA now. I think that's really beneficial. And I think it's worked in the NBA, and I'd love to see it in college.
Chris, do you have anything else before we put away that tinfoil hat?
No, but I like his idea.
Yeah,
I mean, because I'm pretty sure Brian Dutcher would have had a few to challenge last night had he had the wherewithal to do so. But, yeah, let's move on. Let's talk about these teams because, again, officiating, it's not what we should be focusing on.
We will be talking about that later, though. So
you can get I'll bring it back up later.
Sean Paul with the Field of 68 joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. And speaking of Brian Dutcher, we just got news that he got a big old contract extension, which we are excited about here on the show. He's going to be under contract for until the 27-28 season. But he's not making money like a top coach, and we think that he is just taking a hometown discount. To put it into perspective for everyone, how many teams do you think would want Brian Dutcher and would pay big money for Brian Dutcher?
A lot of them. I mean, he is one of the best coaches in college basketball, but I think to a certain extent, you know, you factor in his age, you factor in how college basketball is trending right now with all the NIL stuff and all the transfer portal and all the recruiting. I think a lot of schools are going to go gravitating towards more of the younger guys if they're looking for a long-term move, and obviously Dutcher's not necessarily that guy. But for him, it makes a lot of sense. He's comfortable at San Diego State. There's no reason to go try to rebuild some Big Ten school and be fired in 5 years if it doesn't work. He knows that no matter what he does, he's going to be at San Diego State until he retires. Like, they're not going to fire him at any point. They're trying to become the Gonzaga of the Mountain West Conference in a sense. And I think they're well on their way to doing that if they aren't already, because they've just been consistent year in and year out, and Dutcher's just done a terrific job. I think he deserves more money than he's getting, but I think it is a hometown discount to a certain extent because comfortability is very important, and I think some coaches have shown that over the years. Mark, you obviously at Gonzaga, and if you're comfortable in a spot, there's no reason to leave it because it's not always a greener pasture.
Yeah, that's what Brian Dutcher said. Sean Paul, Field of 68. We know the Aztecs are going to be in the Field of 68. You know, regardless of what happens here in the Mountain West Conference tournament. But this tournament should be incredibly interesting nonetheless, Sean. And, you know, right now, the projections I see, you know, 5 teams for sure, 6 maybe. But the 7th team would be UNLV, and they're not in most people's brackets right now. They've won 5 in a row. They've won 10 out of 11. They're a half game out of first place. They get the tournament on their home floor. How much intrigue is there, and how much is going to be at stake, and for what teams is it going to be really, really important to show well next week?
I mean, the one that has the most to lose or gain next week, obviously outside of UNLV, because they are auto bid or bust. They have to win the Mountain West tournament. Even if they win at Nevada, I just can't see them getting in. They have 3 quadrant 4 losses. One was against Southern. And it is worth noting some of those losses came without Keelan Boone, who was one of the 2-time transfers. So he wasn't eligible at the start of the season. But I just don't know how much the selection committee is going to look at that and be like, hey, we're going to put UNLV in. They have questionable metrics. There's a lot of teams that I would put in over UNLV right now. Although UNLV is really hot, you have to look at the full body of work, because how they're playing right now holds no weight compared to the start of the season. But what it comes down to for me is New Mexico can't put the selection committee in a position to leave them out. They lost at home against Air Force. That is a terrible loss, and that's the reason they find themselves firmly on the bubble right now. They just have to keep winning games, get a win or two in the Mountain West tournament, lose a quadrant one game, and they're going to be fine. They should be in the NCAA tournament. It might be in Dayton, but they will probably be in the NCAA tournament unless they lose a game they should not lose. But we've seen them time and time again. Like, they've played really good against good teams, and they played down to some teams this year. They need to play their best in the conference tournament. But UNLV is an interesting team. I think that team is good enough to win a game in the NCAA tournament if they get there. We saw it last night. They're really good at home. They beat New Mexico twice. They beat Colorado State. They beat San Diego State. They lost against Utah State, a game they really should have won. They led by 5 with like 15 seconds left. They lost that one at home. But they are really good at home besides the Air Force game. It would not surprise me if Otto Biddin made the NCAA tournament, because they play really good in that building.
Talking to Sean Paul here of Field of 68, and I'm going to focus on one of the Aztecs players right now, and that would be Jaden Ledee. He's had a pretty incredible season, but every person that we talk to think he'll just miss out on being a first-team All-American. So do you think he should be a first- or second-team member, or is he a third member, third team? Is there a third team, Chris?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. That makes my question valid.
Yes.
Not a fourth team, just a third team.
Okay,
but
good.
I think what it comes down to for me is what you look at when you're putting players on a team. For me personally, I don't really do a position-based, but I think the actual list really does. You're going to have a couple guards on there. You're going to have a couple bigs on there. If I could put five bigs on there, if there was five bigs that deserved to be on the top of the list, I would do it. I don't care about the position. This isn't some hypothetical game we're rolling out there. We're trying to put the five best players on the first team, the five second best players on the second team, and then the 11 to 15 best players on the third team. Like, you're not making this a real game. So to me, position doesn't really matter. I would probably have him on the second team right now. Because you're going to have Zach Edey from Purdue on the first team, obviously. You're going to have Deron Holmes from Dayton, who I think is ahead of Jaden Ledee in some of these talks. I would have him on the first or second team, and then I would put Ledee on the second team probably. You're going to have a couple guards on that first team, either Tristan Newton from UConn, Tyler Kolick from Marquette. They're going to be in that mix, and then Dalton Connect from Tennessee is going to be on there, R.J. Davis from North Carolina. So you're going to have a lot of guys that deserve to be on that first team. I think Ledee has a really good case for being on the second team, but if he's on the third team, it wouldn't be a surprise. He's going to be a second or third team All-American, though. He deserves it. He's had an awesome season. But I will say, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets snubbed a little bit, though, because some people might lean towards Gray Osabor from Utah State instead, because he's on the team that's going to win the regular season title in the Mountain West.
Yeah, we're used to getting snubbed. So, Jaden, hopefully he won't have to deal with that. Sean, let's focus back in on the Aztecs. 14-0 at home, but 3-6 in the conference on the road. They lost to each of the other six teams that are NCAA tournament potential. All of the games were close, except I think New Mexico ran away at the end.
Yep.
This Aztec team compared to last year's, I mean, they were looking at a 4 seed before last night, which would have been a better seed than they had last year. I don't know that this team could possibly be better than last year, but where do you think it is heading into the madness of March?
It's just a lot different, you know, because you're looking at Jaden Ledee becoming an absolute superstar. He didn't have a superstar last year. He had Matt Bradley, who was honestly had a pretty inconsistent season for what he was throughout his career. Then you had Ledee, who was solid, splitting minutes off the bench with Keyshawn Johnson. You had Nathan Mensah. You just had so many dudes that defend. The defense was a little better than it is last year. It's still elite this year. Top 10 in defensive efficiency on KenPom, but it was 4th nationally last year. It's 9th right now. Having a star like Ledee is big in March. I mean, you have a guy that can go get you 20 points. You didn't know who that guy was going to be on a night-to-night basis last season. What it comes down to for me, though, and why I think San Diego State won't make it to, obviously not the national championship, that's going to be hard to replicate, but why I think making the Sweet 16 could be a bit of a stretch is because of their guard play. It just hasn't been very good this year. Darian Trammell's taken a step back. Lamont Butler is shooting a career low from three-point range, and he's kind of the guy that he's always been. He's going to be that tough defender. He's going to make some big shots. Obviously made one of the biggest shots in program history last year against FAU. But he's just an inconsistent scorer, and he's just a great defender, but he's not going to be that guy that's going to score you 20 every game in the NCAA tournament. That's just not who he is. And then Reese Waters, he's playing less and less minutes by the game. He only played like 12 minutes last night. So I think he needs to play more minutes for San Diego State to make a run in the NCAA tournament. They just don't know if their offense is going to be good enough in the biggest moments.
I think it's a fair analysis. I do. I mean, I would love to hear you say, oh, yeah, they're a lock for the Final Four, but nothing's a lock for the Final Four. I mean, what happened last year was magic, and we'd love to see some more magic this year. But I think you rated this team about right. I mean, they are inconsistent offensively, and even by their own admission, they're not as good defensively. There's no way they can be without Nathan Mensah.
No,
I mean, he erased everything at the rim. So, it's going to be tough. How about the rest of the Mountain West? Real quick, Sean, before we let you go, who do you like in the tournament to do something? I mean, other than the Aztecs making their run last year, the Mountain West has largely been disappointing come tournament time. Can somebody else, Utah State, Nevada, Colorado State, Boise, can somebody, get to a Sweet 16? Or is it going to be a lot of bids and then a lot of disappointment?
I have concerns about pretty much every team for different reasons, except for one team specifically. So I'll kind of get into those other teams. Boise State doesn't really have a point guard. Utah State can't shoot. Colorado State supporting cast is very inconsistent around Isaiah Stevens. The one team that I had the least concerns about is Nevada. They just play so well. They've done great on the road. They won at Colorado State without Keenan Blackshear. My one question would have been shooting because they didn't have a lot of shooters, but now Hunter McIntosh is becoming a guy. He had 25 points against Boise yesterday. I think he had 6 threes. Him becoming a big piece in this rotation makes Nevada's offense much more dangerous because you have Blackshear going to back you down as the 6'6" point guard. Then you have Jared Lucas, who's one of the best shooters in the game. And then Hunter McIntosh just adds another element on the offensive end. You have some tough dudes down low with Nick Davidson and KJ Himes and Tylan Pope. They don't turn the ball over very often. They're a really good defensive team. They can score inside and out. I think Nevada has a chance to make a pretty serious NCAA tournament run.
All right. That was some of the knowledge from Sean Paul on our interview earlier today. NCAA tournament closer than you think. Washington Wizards trying to snap a 15-game losing streak. Lead Orlando 91-89. 9 minutes left, fourth quarter. Top-ranked college basketball team in the country, Houston Cougars, 4:57 left, second half. They have finally taken a lead on Central Florida, 55-48.
Go Cougs!
Oh, yeah. You're such a Coug fan.
I am.
Scraby's Chronicles, punctuated by a daily gripe, are coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Have a good rest of your night, everyone. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.